We join our program already in progress. You've seen that before on TV somewhere along the way. Perhaps it comes because the news has lasted longer than their typical 30-minute time slot because some special event has gone on in the day and they needed to devote more time. And so the next TV show, you join in progress. Sometimes it happens after sporting events because, you know, the TV coordinators, they figure out how long a basketball game ought to last or how long a baseball game should last. And in the midst of it, it goes over that period of time, and especially with baseball. By the way, the average Major League Baseball game this year is lasting for over 3 hours. That's free information for you. So, you know, the next program is joined already in progress. Well, if you've heard those words, they apply to our passage of Scripture today. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17 in just a moment. If you're going to use a Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 695. So, John 11 is a story about the death of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus became sick and they sent word for Jesus and Lazarus died. And Jesus, we encounter Jesus showing up following Lazarus' death. And so that is where we pick up the story already in progress. John 11, beginning at verse 17, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. So when Jesus came, he found that they had already been in the tomb four days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, what God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." Thank you, and you may be seated. 4 days dead. Let's talk about that. Jesus arrives to show up with Lazarus, and when he shows up, he finds out that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days already. Now, because when people died during this time, when people died, they buried them the day they died. No waiting, no long drawn out process until we got to burial. They buried people the day they died. Part of that was they didn't have embalming, they didn't have all of those things, didn't practice those things, and so they would go ahead and bury them. And so he's already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, one of the things that you need to know is that the Jewish belief was that the spirit of that person would hang around for 3 days. But by the fourth day, then the spirit left, because by that point the signs of death had really begun to set in. And the spirit would know life was not coming back to this person, and so the spirit would leave. Part of their belief system. In fact, they believed that so strongly that they would send someone to the tomb every day to check to see if the person was alive or had come to life. Now, you think about that. We're not going to chase this down today, but if you think about that and make a lot of it connections to Jesus, and they went to see him on the third day. Okay, so makes a lot of sense, those things that are going on. But you get to the fourth day, and at the fourth day, the spirit is gone. There's really no hope for life. So 4 days dead is really dead. As if he wasn't really dead before. 4 days dead and you are really dead. But as Jesus is arriving, we discover in the story that Jesus is not the only friend who has come to see this family. Others have learned about the death of Lazarus, and they have begun to come see Mary and Martha. No doubt they showed up with home-cooked food and goodies of whatever sort they had during that day and time. They showed up, they brought those things, and people came to see them. But in their culture, it's spiritually significant to show up. It is spiritually significant to be present for a family who is in mourning, and so many people are coming to do so. Now, it's significant, and there was an elaborate process of mourning that 7 days following the death of the loved one, for 7 days it was a time of, they would call, heavy mourning. You know, that's really kind of all you did was be in that mourning process, and there was lots of weeping and lots of crying and heavy mourning, followed by, after that, 30 days of light mourning. And a process of, I'm sure part of it was a process for grieving, a process of handling that process of one dying. There were a lot of Jews most likely present because of the proximity to Jerusalem. Bethany would have been a small town, Jerusalem, a larger town, and it was less than a 2 mile walk to get to Bethany, close to 2 miles, but a little less than 2 miles. Now, I say that, and many of you may think, well, that's a pretty good little thing. I'd hop in my car and drive over there. Well, you got to remember, this is a culture that walked everywhere they went. 2 miles is nothing. And they probably did it a lot quicker than we did, and they weren't huffing and puffing when they got there, because that's just what they did in life. You know, so it's not very far out there, so they go out, and there's many of them there. And the reason there are many there, it's not so much about proximity, it is about relationship and prominence. There is a sense that Lazarus and Mary and Martha were a prominent family, well known among the Jews, and people would know them, and so they have come to be present. They have showed up. The significance that is there and attributed that comes in part because of who they are as people, but because the people know them, and so there's a number of people coming to be with them and to be present, and this is the scene and this is the setting into which Jesus is arriving. A lot of people showing up. But what we discover is that Mary and Martha are like us. Now, how so, you may ask? How is it that Mary and Martha are like us? Well, they are like us because they grieve differently. Have you ever been in one of those settings where you were handling your process of grief and so was somebody else, but they became frustrated that your process was different than theirs? Or maybe you became frustrated because their process was different than yours. You know, we all handle grief differently. Some cry more than others. Some need time away. Some need to cling. A variety of ways. There's just different ways. And what we're going to see with Mary and Martha is that they handle grief differently, and it says something to us. Now, Martha learns that Jesus is coming, and Martha takes off to go see Jesus. Well, we have learned from another scene in the Gospels is that Martha is a person who is prone to action. Now, that other story involves Jesus showing up at their home for a visit. Evidently, he liked to go there. These were his friends and perhaps confidants and a place where he felt welcome when he would go into their house. Well, Martha's one of those kind of people that if you're at her house, she's going to make sure you eat. You know, God loved those kind of women. You know, we just want to make sure you're going to eat and you're going to feel good and all that that kind of stuff. I've pastored some of those, and boy, I love them. My waistline did not love them, but I've loved them quite well. One of them was named Lois, and Lois would show up at church on a day we had a funeral, and we were going to feed the family, and we did that a lot. And this was one of those churches where if you brought a home, a store-bought dessert, it never made it out of the kitchen because there were too many homemade desserts. Those went out on the table. And Lois, bless her heart, would more times than not probably brought two pecan pies. And when it was all said and done, she would say, "Now, Pastor, we didn't need this second pecan pie. Won't you just take it home?" Okay, Miss Lois, I'll be glad to take this home for you. You know, those kinds of people, and all of those kind of folks in the way that they do things and bent toward action and doing stuff and taking care of things. And so Martha's like that. She wants to cook. She wants to prepare. She's probably preparing over the top. You know, in that story, she's probably cooking way more food than she's probably going to take leftovers to the neighbors. Here, I cooked. Jesus came. I got all excited. I cooked too much food, and we didn't eat it all, and everybody's laying over at the house moaning because they're too full. Well, so what we find Martha doing here in this story fits right in with what we find of her personality in other places. She is prone to action. The interesting thing is, though, is what she does is not according to custom. You, as the grieving person, were to sit and wait for everyone else to come to you, not get up and go to them. So Martha breaks custom and she goes out to see Jesus, but it's just like her. It's just what we know about her. Now, Mary, on the other hand, is sitting at home. She's just lounging around, she's receiving everybody's coming to her, going along with the custom. And guess what? We find her sitting. In the story that the earlier story, Jesus is at her home that she shares with Martha and Lazarus. She's there. Jesus is there. Her sister's off in the kitchen cooking. And cooking up a storm, and Martha's getting all upset because Mary has plopped herself down at the feet of Jesus and is not concerned at all about how much they're going to eat or when they're going to eat or the fact that Martha's slaving away in the kitchen cooking. She's just seated there at the feet of Jesus. Which, if truth be known, probably that broke custom there. So on one scene we find Martha breaking custom, and another scene we find Mary breaking custom, but yet we see their nature. And part of what it tells us is we're handling these things differently, and we find Martha and Mary handling them differently. So, interestingly, preaching this on this weekend, just a reminder to us that we all handle some things differently in life because of the way that God wires us. But as we see this scene unfold and the stuff that happens, we find Martha's gone out to see Jesus. And something really important happens when she goes out to see Jesus. There's this exchange of conversation between two personal friends. Mary and Martha knew each other well, likely by this point, and were close friends. And we find Martha greeting Jesus. And when I read this story in John's Gospel, I'm pretty sure John has left out some of the details we would like for him to have included. He didn't include a hello. He didn't include an embrace and a hug. He didn't include Jesus saying, "How are you? Tell me about your emotions. Tell me about what you're feeling. Explain to me what happened. Tell me about what led up to Lazarus' death." Maybe all of that was included. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe Martha just jumped right on in and Jesus jumped right on in. But you get a sense that maybe John just left some of those things out. And we jump right into the scene, and Martha tells Jesus that she believes if he had been there, her brother would not have died. "You've been here, Lord. My brother would not have died." But why? Because she knows Jesus. She knows what Jesus is capable of doing, that Jesus can heal people, that Jesus can save people, that Jesus can take care of people, you know, all of those kinds of things. She sees that in Jesus. She believes that about Jesus. "So if you're here, then my brother would not have died." Well, interestingly, later in this chapter, beyond the scope of our verses for today, we find that Mary tells Jesus almost the exact same thing word for word. Almost like they had a conversation about this. Maybe in some quiet moment they found, and they sat around, the two of them, or stood around, depending on, or one stood and the other sat, who knows. And they had this conversation about Lazarus dying, and they had sent for Jesus, and Jesus wasn't there. But, you know, if Jesus had been here, Lazarus would still be alive. You know, if only Jesus had been here, Jesus could have made him well, and he'd still be here with us. How many of you would just kind of like to start a conversation with Jesus like this? That bold, that up front, you know, that bold. Jesus, if you had just been here, you know, part of us want to say, way to go, Martha. Why didn't you just speak up and tell Jesus what's in your heart and how you feel? But she didn't stop there. She went on to say that she believed God would do whatever Jesus asked. And what's she getting at here? I'm not real sure what all she's getting at. I don't know if she's trying to say to Jesus, well, God will do whatever you ask, so why don't you just ask God to raise my brother? I don't know that that's what she's saying. John doesn't say that that's what she's saying. Although we're going to discover in a little bit, you discover later on that's exactly what happens. But it's a strong statement. It's a statement about a great belief in Jesus. Whatever you ask God to do, God's going to do it. And it's a statement of belief not only in Jesus, but in God. God can do these things. And God listens to you, and you ask God, God will do them. So she's showing a great deal of confidence in Jesus, and that she trusts Him and that she believes Him. And Jesus responds to her. Martha, your brother will rise again. Now, He doesn't say when. He doesn't say when it will be, how it's going to come about, or anything like that. But she says, yeah, I know that. I know He will. Why? Because she's a Jew. And Jews believe in a resurrection. Daniel 12:2 says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. She had a biblical foundation for her belief, a foundation that the Jews lived with, that they believe in a resurrection. And she believes her brother is going to rise again, that it'll be on the last day. In the resurrection, on the last day. So maybe she's not really asking Jesus to do anything, but she's stating this confidence in Jesus. She says, yeah, He's going to be resurrected in the last day. And then Jesus says this, I am the resurrection and the life. The power of death to separate people from God is reduced to nothing in the presence of the power of God and of Jesus. With Jesus' pronouncement about Himself, the defeat of death is no longer an end-time promise. This becomes an end-time reality. It's not just a promise that He's going to defeat death somewhere along the line. No, He's saying, look, I win over death. And He's going to live that out. He's going to prove that when He dies, but then is raised again to new life in Jesus. So Jesus is telling more about Himself and more about this promise that anywhere in the gospel of His relationship Jesus offers to those who will embrace it. Jesus is saying, look, if you'll embrace this, if you'll believe in Me, this is what happens. But one of the things that we find Jesus doing is Jesus is naming the greatest threat to a full relationship with God, death. He says, look, here's what separates us from God, death. He names what people fear, death. Most people fear death. They're afraid of death. They're afraid of what it'll do. They don't know what it means on the other side. Death is the enemy. But Jesus is saying He is defeating it. He has defeated it. Because He is the resurrection and the life. Resurrection, that comes after death. Death can't win. Death can't claim you. Death can't hold sway over you. No, because He's the resurrection and the life. I am, He says. I am the resurrection. I am the life. But then He says this. It is for those who believe. It is for those who believe. That demands a response on your part. I am the resurrection and the life, but it applies to those who believe, He says. There is a response for us. If you don't believe, it doesn't apply to you. You have to believe. Believe that physical death has no power over believers. Your future is determined by faith in Christ. It means your present life is also determined by Jesus' power for life in you. You have the gift of eternal life from Jesus. those who believe will live and those who believe will never die. But the promise comes, this promise of life, this promise of resurrection of life, this promise that from Jesus, I am the resurrection and life to those who believe. It comes with an invitation. He looked at Martha and said, do you believe? Well, you can read those verses in the scriptures and apply them directly to yourself. Allow Jesus to ask the question to you. Do you believe? And then Martha makes one of the clearest declarations of who Jesus is, one of the boldest faith statements on all of the New Testament. She says, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Yes, I have believed. I have believed. That is a statement of settled decision. She says, yes, I've made this choice. I have believed. I've decided you are the Christ. It's a decision she made in the past, but it's going on to today. And it keeps going on. It's a decision. Yes, I made that decision. Jesus, I believe you are. And I still believe. I continue to believe. And I'm going to continue believing this. I've made this decision. Wow. Man, what a great example for us. It is a decision that we make at some point. And we have to choose to decide. We have to choose. Yes, Jesus, you are the Christ. And I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to have confidence in you. Yes, Jesus, I have made that decision. And I didn't just make it back there for one day. I made it over here to last me a lifetime. I've made it in the past, but it continues with me even today. So she goes on to say, not only that, you are the Christ. She acknowledges that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one the Jews have been anticipating. He is the one coming to be the Savior of the world. She understands. She gets it. Yes, this is Jesus. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just one who is a miracle worker and heals people and does all of these things. No, he is the Messiah. He is the one long expected, long awaited, long looked for. The one who comes into the world. Jesus is the anticipated one. You see, one of the great things for Martha is she's a Jew. She saw what had been promised. That there was one who would come. You know, it's really sad. Earlier in the year, thanks to you all, I got to go to Israel. And to be there and to see all of these Jews. And to see a very small percentage of the nation of Israel, faithful Jews, still anticipating, still looking for the one to come, and they missed him. Martha didn't miss him. I hope you don't miss him. He has come. The one coming into the world, he has come into the world for you. To be a Savior to you and for you. To change your life. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one who has come into the world and is the one who the Scripture tells us is coming again. To receive those to himself who have believed in him. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's saying, look, death doesn't have to have a claim in your life. For when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this one in whom we believe, this one who is the resurrection and the life, we place our trust in him. He saves us. He redeems us. And our physical bodies may die, but our spirit does not. It doesn't really matter. Our physical bodies may come to a physical end, but we will be with him. We will live. All because of Jesus. But it hinges on your belief. Do you believe in Jesus to be your Savior? To know him and to walk in that relationship with him and to be to that place that you have this bold, confident faith just like Martha had. Yes, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe. I have believed. I've made that decision. Here's a question for you today. Have you made that decision? Do you have a place in your life you can go back to at some point? Maybe it's a specific day. Maybe it's a time frame in your life you can go to it and say, I believed. I have believed. I made a decision. It's continuing in my life to today. I hope you have. If not, I invite you to do so, that today would be that day for you, that you would say, you know, today I'm going to believe in Jesus. You know, it's the fourth Sunday of the month, and I try to help us keep remembering our 4x4. What Martha says here is a great way for you to talk to one of your four. You know, here's something about a belief. You can use her wording. I have believed. I made a decision. It continues to impact my life to the day. One of those days and opportunities you have to talk to one of your friends. I made this decision. It's impacting my life today. Matter of fact, it impacts my life so much that that's why I'm talking to you about it. That's why Jesus is talking to Martha. That's why it's recorded for us in Scripture, so that we know it. We have this great truth. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. When we believe in Him, it changes everything. It means life. Life beyond this life. Life, eternal life, which begins when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. We so often think of eternal life as heaven only, but no, the Scriptures say, and let us know, eternal life begins when we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Yes, one of these days there will be heaven. But we live life in this physical life now. And one of these days, this earthly tent may crumble and go away, but yet life with Jesus continues forever. And what a deal. What a gracious gift of God. But it is for those who believe. Two things. One, if you've never believed, I invite you to believe, to know Jesus. If you have believed, I hope you're encouraged today that Jesus has done all of this for you and that your faith is strengthened and there's a bold confidence in you like there was with Martha. That she can say, and you can say, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world. Let's pray.